New Zealand-based home renovation company, 6,593% ROAS. Sydney-based solar company, 2,700% ROAS. Hunter region-based bathroom renovation company, 5,616% ROAS. Melbourne-based building company, 13,182% return on ad spend. Adelaide-based solar company, 2,881% return on ad spend. Guys, the list goes on and on. If you're a trade-based business and you work with projects like roofing, solar, bathroom renovations, kitchen renovations, anything like that, head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. Book in a conversation. It is game changing.
Hello, everybody, and it is August, and August, of course, marks the Mental Health for Tradies Month, which is an initiative here in Australia. However, of course, the issue stems far greater than our shores. It is, in fact, a global problem, and you know, mental health within the trades is an issue that has been receiving a lot of publicity lately, which is fantastic. It's shedding a lot of light on, I suppose, the fact that there are people out there that are struggling, and you know, everybody has mental health, good or bad. So this episode I have created as a phone conversation. It was a lot of fun, actually. There was obviously myself. There was Nick Sutherland from MindFit, and then there were the boys from Trademut, which is Dan Allen and Edward Ross. Now, guys, I might add as well, there's been a couple of incentives there. Nick at MindFit, he has offered a free one-on-one session to somebody, and also the boys at Trademut are going to give away a couple of shirts. Now, it's all going to be done through the Facebook community. So if you want to be a part of that, you've got to head across to facebook.com/groups/theSiteShed. Jump in the community there and you can then be part of that competition. The competition does involve you doing something as well. So don't just think you're going to jump in the group and get it for nothing. That is not how it rolls. Anyway, this is the first part of that conversation. I've split it up because it went for ages. It's a little bit longer than a normal one, so hopefully you can bear with it. But guys, if you do have any mental health issues or if you need someone to talk to, please pick up the phone. There are people that want to listen. You just need to take that first step. So that's all from me. Let's jump right in. The SiteShed podcast is made possible because of Tradie Web Guys, creators of beautiful websites designed specifically for tradies and contractors. If you're tired of dealing with web designers that have no idea about your industry, then head across to tradiewebguys.com.au and reach out. Like many companies from all over the place, you'll be very glad you did.
Giving tradies and contractors around the globe the tools to run a modern business. You're listening to Toolbox Talks from the SiteShed. Now here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hello listeners and welcome back to Toolbox Talks on the SiteShed podcast. You're joined today by myself, Matt Jones, your host. And today we're having a bit of a four-way. How kinky is that? Rock and roll. So I've got a few of the boys here from Trademut and I've got Nick from MindFit. Welcome, boys.
Thanks for having us, mate.
Hey, mate.
How are you? Cheers, mate.
You boys are down in Melbourne at the moment, but you Trademut guys are from up north, right?
We're from Brisbane, yeah. Yep.
Brizzy.
Vegas.
Nice.
Down in cold Victoria, shivering your ass off.
Yeah, it's a bit like that here in Sydney as well. Look, guys, thanks for your time. I suppose I've been chatting with Nick over the last few weeks in relation to some mental health, programs and things that he's doing, and we decided we put together a bit of a podcast for the Tradies National Health Month, which, of course, is throughout August in Australia. Mental health is a real issue, and I know you guys are both very active within that space within your own organisation. So I might even just start, if you don't mind. Nick, do you want to tell us a little bit about MindFit, about your background, and just so the audience can kind of resonate?
Yeah, sure, mate. So I am ex-army. I was a recon soldier based up in Darwin, and I got medically discharged with depression and anxiety as well as a permanent left leg injury. So I blew my knee out a couple of days before my unit was due to deploy and roll out to East Timor. So you know, at the time it was a physical injury, but what I've come to learn that there was also an emotional trauma attached to that. There was, once you become useless and thrown on the scrap heap, yeah, you just become an easy target, really. So there's lots of bastardization and bullying and all that comes with it. And then so I sort of left the army and went traveling a bit, but I spent probably 8 years unsupported and what I now know was spiraling down into my version of rock bottom, which for me was agoraphobia, where I couldn't leave the house at all, not even to check the mailbox.
Wow.
And had suicidal thoughts and, you know, just got in that really, really dark space, shut myself off from everyone. And yeah, so I finally got a bit sick of staring at the wall. So I reached out, which was pretty hard for that version of me. Reached out, got some help, and yeah, spent the next year or so rebuilding myself, and then went and studied various psychotherapy modalities, and yeah, opened up my own private practice down here in Vic, and started helping people that that were sort of stuck and struggling and going through all the stuff that I'd been going through. So
yeah,
I did that for 10 years, and then just this year I've switched it around. I got a bit tired of working on the problem, helping people out of that. I thought there must be a better way, so switched it around and started working in a more preventative manner. So yeah, that's how MindFit was born. It does what it says. It helps people to become mentally fitter and stronger and more resilient, and helps them to either get out of depression and anxiety or avoid it altogether. So
it's interesting, isn't it? I've got a colleague of mine, close friend. He's got a son who's 22 or 23 or something, and he was quite a promising rugby league player who injured himself in a game and damaged his neck to the point where he couldn't play football anymore. And he was kind of on the path to, playing with the big boys, or so he tells me. But, mate, as a result, he, he's basically been, since then, it's like he's lost part of his identity, like as a young football player, all of a sudden you're told, well, you can't ever play footy again because your neck's buggered, and you can't ever do this again. You pretty much can't ever do anything again. Like anything that he ever really associated with has basically been torn away from him. And as a result, only last month he got, he's had these depression issues building and building and building. And last month he was admitted into North Shore Private into the mental ward. And it's fascinating. It's interesting that, you were saying how, what could stem from a physical injury very often will morph into something a lot more, not so much physical, but maybe, mental.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've got a mind-body connection. So it makes sense that, if something happens to our body, something's going to happen to our mind. And what you're talking about with your mate's son resonates with me. I was running for the Army in the Defence Force Games. I did a beep test of 15.8 or something. And, I was fairly athletic, so part of the emotional trauma for me was not being able to run anymore, not being able to squat or bend or any of that stuff. So very sort of similar to what he went through.
Has that injury now recovered, Nick?
No. Oh, the physical injury?
Yeah.
No. So it's a permanent knee injury now. So I still can't run, struggle up and down stairs, all that sort of stuff.
Right. And what about the mental side of things?
Yeah, mentally. So basically,
I'm guessing it's a journey, not a destination, but has it improved?
Well, it's gotten to the point now where, so basically, I rebuilt myself. I had to do a frame off restoration of sorts because the mental health, the foundation that I had wasn't able to support me when life happened.
Right.
Reaching out, getting help, I did have to break down completely and in order to rebuild a much stronger, healthier, more sustainable version of myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I recently went through a pretty toxic divorce and coming out the other side of that, I practice what I teach blokes and I've come out the other side of that, still got a few dings and bruises and all that sort of stuff as you do, but I came out smiling and I came out feeling really happy and healthy, and I retained a really high level of mental health. So, yeah, it's sort of evidence that it works, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's brilliant. But yeah, I think that's part of the – would you agree that's one of the bigger parts of the course? Sorry, boys, we'll get on to Trade Mutt in a minute, but would you say that one of the biggest – biggest challenges is actually make that realization to the point where you make that recognition that you need help and that you're willing to reach out and get it from somebody?
I mean, that's always the first step, is to get to the point where you have the awareness of I am struggling, and I literally do not know how to change this. I don't know how to get out of it. And unfortunately, too many blokes reach that stage and don't ask for help. So their only option, or what they think is an option, is suicide. So, you know, I had those thoughts, but I chose the hard path. When I'm writing a book at the moment called The Hard Path to Happiness, and that's all about, you know, taking that hard path. It's easy to sit on the couch. It's easy to, you know, not go to the gym. It's easy to get physically unfit and unwell. And it's just as easy to get mentally unfit and unwell as well. So we have to practice things and do certain things in order to maintain that mental health.
Yeah. Okay. So Dan, Edward, well, a bit about your stories, boys. Tell us about Trade Mutt. Tell us about how it all got founded. Tell us what it is.
Yeah. So Trade Mutt, it's a progressive social enterprise. We're a workwear company that's aiming to clothe working men and women of Australia in new vibrant workwear, alternative clothing, and in doing so, start the conversation around mental health, mainly among Aussie men, and just make conversations around it more accessible.
Yep. And so, tell me, what's the background there? Like, why did you guys venture into this, into Trade Mutt? You know, did something spur it? What happened there?
Yeah, so Ed and I have been working together for, four and a half years, become really great mates. Ed was my apprentice, and in 2016, he was around when one of my best mates took his own life very unexpectedly.
Tradie?
Yeah, he just scored himself a mature age apprenticeship, which he was hunting for a very long time. And it happened 3 days after he'd finally struck an apprenticeship. So things couldn't have been better a couple of days, before it went down. And for anyone who's experienced suicide, I know for me it was a massive shock to the system. It was one of the craziest times of my life. I had no idea how to handle it. It's such a confusing thing to have to experience. And, I'm sure what I felt was nothing compared to, his parents and his brother, who will just never be the same.
Yeah.
And I know, for myself, in such a confusing period of time, it was a massive period of self-reflection and questioning life in general. And I suppose, through that healing process, I think it really stuck with me so much. And I think I just became so aware of how big of an issue suicide actually is in Australia. It's actually staggering. And, Ed and I had an idea of creating an alternative workwear tradie brand and, something a bit out there, a bit different. And it just all sort of happened so organically. I didn't know what a social enterprise was, two years ago, but it seemed to fit perfectly. It resonated with us really well. It was, a style of business where, we're driven by socially conscious values and want to affect this issue of male suicide. So, through our bright work where we really want to bring it to the table, and, it's unavoidable when you see this work where to be able to relate that to starting conversations and breaking down the barriers to these conversations that seem to exist for guys.
So I've seen some of the shirts and things that you guys have got, and they're pretty out there. Who comes up with the for the listeners as well? They've got some pretty elaborate designs on some of their merchandise. Who comes up with the designs for these?
Mate, well, it's a long process. It took us ages. Well, because as you can imagine, we're just two carpenters with absolutely no idea of how to even begin to design a shirt. Met a guy in Brisbane who was just a freelance graphic designer on the side. Dan and I were literally just drawing and colouring in pencils and being like, oh, yeah, try and mock something up like that or something up like this. And, yeah, went back and forth for months trying to find something that we liked. And then one night he just sent through this camo pattern with these crazy colours in it.
And we were like, yep, that's like, the one.
Yeah, the one. Because we knew if we started the business with the literally the loudest possible design we could come up with,
yep.
then that will sell anything. It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, that's how it all happened.
So to take the fun out of it a little bit, in terms of the high-vis aspects on site today and people, you know, having to wear certain things, do they comply with those standards?
Yeah, they comply with Australian workwear standards, but we don't have the Australian high visibility standard yet. But we're working on that, right now. So that's all coming. It's all in the pipeline.
So the hope there is that people can obviously wear them on site and
wear them at commercial sites. Anyone in a residential carpenter or that's not on a commercial site can wear these work shirts. Yeah, definitely.
Anyone mowing the lawn, anyone planting pot plants,
going fishing, anything. Yeah, they're all around.
Real estate agents.
Exactly, yep. No, it's good.
We interrupt this podcast today to talk to you very quickly about Tradie Web Guys content creation program. That program has been designed specifically for trade-based organizations as a way that you guys as trade business owners can start creating content that enables you to engage better with your customers and your potential customers. It will enable you to build trust and build rapport because what you're doing is you're investing in educating them. Biggest problem that we see with our customers today is that they're not regularly updating their websites. And that's a problem because first of all, the search engines are looking for that. And second of all, potential customers are also looking for it. Tradie Web Guys content creation program has been specifically designed to help you get regular, relevant content on your website consistently every month. We know that it's hard when you're out there on the tools, and we know that sometimes you don't always have the time to be able to do these things yourself. So we're taking it off your hands for you. It's a service that we're offering for you guys. We want to make sure that you're getting this done because we know how important it is. Anyway, head across to tradiewebguys.com.au/content, fill in the form, and one of our representatives will come back to you.
All right, cool. Well, look, guys, so we want to talk a little bit, I suppose, about mental health for trades. And, you know, we've kind of split it up into three different points of conversation. And we may or may not split this. We'll see how we go into different episodes. But I suppose primarily we're going to talk about what the problem is. And then ideally we'd like to talk a little bit about, I suppose, what the solution or solutions may be. And then, you know, I suppose the end line there, like what's potentially the outcome. Nick, you came up with that framework, which I'm all for. So maybe you can kick the ball off there with talking a little bit about, you know, what actually is the problem.
Yeah, cool, mate. So I think at the start of this, I'll have to go back and listen to it later, but I think you said mental health is a real issue, and that's such a common phrase, but I think that's part of the problem. It's mental health isn't an issue. Mental health is something that we all have, and yet we seem to look at it in this really weird light. And you know, we were having a chat over dinner and a few beers last night about mental health, and I said it's hilarious that there's a stigma around mental health because every single one of us has it, whether we like it or not. Whether you like the word or not, we all have mental health. And, you know, traders and blokes meant to, you know, talk about being tough, but yet they're afraid of this little word. Right. And it has such a negative impact. So I guess the problem is multifaceted. It's not just as simple as, you know, that is happening there. There's a culmination of all these little things happening that are creating a bigger overarching problem, which, you know, what we're talking about earlier is men's suicide, men taking their own lives because they just can't, you know, continue on with what they're feeling. And so they're not reaching out and getting help.
So, Nick, when you say everybody has mental health, are you basically saying, like, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, we all have it?
Yeah, it's no different to physical health. Gotcha. There's a difference between mental health and mental illness. So as we all have physical health, we don't all have physical illness. Same with mental health. We all have mental health. We don't all have mental illness.
Interesting. Yeah, I never really thought of it like that, but I guess that totally makes sense.
No one has. That's the weird thing for me. It's like I talk to people.
That's why you're such a pioneer, Nick.
No, you made me hungry. I feel like a pie. yeah, well, it just makes sense to me. I guess having been through it and having suffered through that 8 years, then, yeah, just sort of I realised that I had an aha moment that, you know, fuck, we've all got mental health and none of us are attending to it as we do our physical health. So many, you know, blokes go to the gym and pump iron and, you know, eat, you know, drink all these protein shakes and do everything for their physical health, yet no one stops and learns how to you know, do things that are going to add to our mental well-being. So, yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
So I'm a little bit I'm curious because – What your take is on this, right? So somebody that's obviously gone from being physically and mentally healthy, inverted commas, to having a, you know, an injury, you know, while you're with the military, which sort of led to, I mean, would you call that PTSD as a result of that injury?
No, it was just, there was things I wasn't doing. And I guess, and we're going to talk about this later in the solution, but may as well add a prelude to it now. But blokes and I wasn't taking responsibility and ownership over my health, over my entire health, not just my mental health and physical health. It was, you know, yeah, I was going to rehab and everything for my leg. But, you know, when I got strung up naked and hosed down and tied to a wire fence and all this sort of stuff, there wasn't things that I was doing proactively to protect my mental health and well-being. So I think it's too easy to say, oh, you know, it was a PTSD. I don't think it was. I think over my time in rehab, there was a constant barrage of negative stimulus that over time wore my mental health down to a point where, I just became pretty unwell.
So would you say then, like, as part of the problem, it sounds to me like it's can be heavily related to the environment.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's we are products of our environment. We're so influenced by everything around us. So, you know, when I work with a client, I have to make sure that, yeah, they come in and we work for an hour at a time, and I'm working in a very educational manner now, so I don't sort of do the traditional therapy. I don't really believe that. I believe people just missing tools and resources. So I set about empowering them with that. And they come in to my office for an hour, you know, learning all this stuff. If they go back to the same environment and don't make any changes, it's going to be really difficult to make any positive change on a sustainable long-term level. Yet people walk around with this expectation in their head that, you know, I don't know, I should be happy, I should be healthy, I should be productive, I should be able to be at work, I should be able to provide for my family.
Yep.
You know, but they're not doing the fundamental things that they need to in order to be all of those things.
Back in episode 128, I was talking to my friend Jason Spall, who I believe you've had a chat with since I introduced you, Nick.
Yeah.
And in that podcast, he was talking about his brother who committed suicide. He was in the trades also. And I was saying to him how I've got, and I don't really know how to approach this, but I know there's a lot of people out there that will be listening to this and they'll relate to the fact that when you don't have inverted commas depression, it's very hard for you to relate to people that are having that problem. Like it's so easy just to sort of have that attitude of, oh, we'll just go suck it up and get on with it.
Yeah, but that just comes from a lack of, you know, one of the things we need to teach blokes is to come at things from a place of empathy and compassion. Words that blokes don't like using because I don't think it's manly, but it's actually, you know, I talk to people all the time about how it takes more strength to let go of something than it takes to hold on to it, you know.
Right.
And using words that make you uncomfortable takes a lot of strength. So if blokes want to be genuinely tougher, they've got to start getting out of their comfort zones and having these difficult conversations and really start challenging their out-of-date belief system. And if you can be empathetic towards a guy instead of just judging him, condemning him, you know, when he goes, oh, someone goes, I'm going to go help, and he's got a soft cock and told to harden up. That's part of the problem.
Well, exactly. And that's sort of where I was heading, you know. Like, I feel like there's such a disconnect within society on people that are just ignorant more than anything. They don't really have an understanding of, you know, the problems and the realities of those problems and where they can end up. And I suppose where I was heading was, you know, well, what can be done, I suppose, to educate the masses, as opposed to, I mean, it's all good helping people that have the issue, but what about helping the people that are freaking causing the issue for the better part?
Well, they don't need to understand it. That's the reality of it. It's just accept that people are feeling a certain way. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to have felt it yourself. Just if you see that someone's struggling or having a hard time, or they're brave enough to put their hand up and say, "Hey, mate, I'm struggling," just accept it and take it at face value and go, "Oh shit, okay, well, thanks for telling me. How can I help?" Instead of going, you know, the traditional way of beating him up.
Dan, Edward, so obviously now that you guys are pretty heavily involved within this space yourselves, what are some of the, I suppose, some of the other problems that you guys have seen arise that can lead to a decline in mental health?
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I was listening to Nick talk about his injury, and I can definitely relate to that. A hand injury myself before I moved to Brisbane that sort of had me super low. So I think that's something very, very common in trades, being such physical, you know, strenuous jobs. But I think one thing that really stands out to me is the role that social media plays nowadays. We're so influenced by everything that we see, and you know, there's this need for, you know, guys to, you know, be successful. We think we need to be successful and, you know, prove ourselves and, you know, keep up with the Joneses. There's this huge sort of measuring your success based on how you perceive.
It's comparing. You're always comparing yourself against other people that you shouldn't be, because, you're only yourself and you can only do what you can do. And it's trying to be like what Nick implements is like being the best version of yourself, rather than trying to be someone that you're not. And as Dan said, like with social media, I think one of the biggest things is breakdown of actual relationships, where, you know, you're not sitting down having those face-to-face conversations with people anymore. It's over the phone, or you're texting someone and the emotion's taken out of it, and people aren't there, you know, looking at each other in the eyes and having an actual conversation.
Connecting,
and,
you know.
Yeah. And, you know, blokes have come home from a massive day and they just want to switch off, get on their phones and watch TV. The missus is there barking orders at them, and it's just a downward spiral. As an example, I used to work in the Northern Territory for about 3 years. Obviously no phone reception, so, you know, you'd pull up First Smoko or whatever like that. Everyone would just be sitting around talking to each other. Now, I mean, there were very, very limited conversations that I would have had at Smoko time on a job site. Since I have been a tradie, because everyone just sits down, everyone's on their phone. Wow. The only thing you'll be talking about is a funny video you've watched or some hilarious picture. So it's not actually, the actual conversation's been taken out of people due to this hysteria around having to be on your mobile phone all the time. It's
kind of ironic, isn't it, that social media has made everyone antisocial.
Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. It's a massive issue, and that could be a whole podcast in itself.
Oh, for sure, definitely.
I mean, I think if I can chime in for a sec there,
yep.
I think the boys touch on a really important thing. Is everyone's just hovering around the surface. No one's actually stopping and deepening their connections and going deeper down into, you know, that discomfort. Everyone loves staying light and fluffy and, yeah, did this on the weekend, got pissed, blah, blah, blah. But no one's having any of these real discussions that are so crucial and important to, you know, not only our friendships with other people, but to have for our own well-being as well. So, yeah, I fully support what the boys are saying, and you know, it is time, I think, for people to take back their ownership over their own health and well-being and start, you know, chuck the phone away and, "Hey mate, how are you?" and actually be honest instead of just, "Yeah, okay," like Dan's got a story he'll tell, and I think it's a great example if you want to tell that one, Dan.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have this I guess, you know, talking about social media, like it sort of becomes evident that, you know, I feel that people put up a front and a facade, you know, and social media sort of, you only really show people what you believe is the best side of yourself, right? You know, no one's putting up pictures of themselves when they look ugly or whether, you know, where they're doing something that doesn't shine them in a good light. And so I think I was at an event. The other week at a rugby match in Brisbane, been taken to a box by a timber supplier up there. It was just a room full of builders, basically, and you know, no one knew each other. Everyone's wearing a name tag and everyone's cruising around and, you know, having chats and chin wags, and it was all you know, how's it going? You know, how many jobs you got on? Oh, yeah, heaps, mate. Yeah, doing so well. You know, got all these boys working, got all these jobs going. Everything's great. You know, it's awesome. You know, next bloke, same thing. This many jobs, you know, killing it. Yeah. Rah, rah. And I was standing there and I was thinking, you know, at the time, for the past year, the building company that I've been working for, I've been sort of in a role where I've been running things there, and it's been tough. It's been the toughest year of my life. Like, we thought we had jobs sewn up, and then we lost them. We've got boys to keep working. We've got bills. We've got accounts that are filling up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just found myself standing there thinking, so what if I say to these guys, you know what? No, things are going shit ass.
Yeah.
Like I'm. This is the hardest thing I've ever been doing. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if we're going to have work in a couple of weeks' time. You know, we've got the boys to keep working. They've got families. You know, they've got, you know, bills and, you know, livelihoods to keep going. I just thought, you know, in that room with a whole bunch of dudes like that, would anyone have cared if I had said to them, you know what, things are shit house? Like, would I have brought the mood down? Like, how would people have reacted to that, you know? And then, and this is kind of the real conversations that we're talking about, like Ed touched on, that, you know, everyone's on their phones and no one's having real conversations. And I think when I left there, I actually really regretted not saying that. I just really regretted not, you know, saying to a couple of these blokes, you know, things are absolutely shit house, because I would have loved to have gauged their reactions. And I think I'd love to know how things really were for some of those guys there, you know. Are things as good as they say they are, or is this just all bullshit, you know, and we feel like we need to prove ourselves to the other guys in the room and you know, because this is the root of the problem. Like, this kind of behavior, we're not helping ourselves. And, you know, if I had that opportunity again, I would definitely be telling the guys how hard it is, because, you know, I just love to gauge that. And I think that would bring some real, you know, some real reactions to the
I think blokes don't do that, though, because we've forgotten, or we don't like being vulnerable. And that's, I think, the boys in their shirts, and that's why I've partnered up, I guess, is because it is a conversation starter. And it's like, you rock up to a site and the bloke's wearing this bloody pink camo shirt. you know, you're going to ask a question. You're going to go, mate, what the hell is going on with your shirt?
Yeah.
And he's going to say, well, you know, I'm supporting men's health and mental health and doing my little bit to help everyone out. And, you know, I'll be struggling at some stage in my future. We're all going to experience a low at some stage. So hopefully other people can be there for me when I, you know, I'm in that spot. So, yeah, I think it all comes together in that way.
Do you reckon as well, was that Dan? That was you speaking before, right?
Yeah.
Do you reckon, like, some of the problem exists too when, you know, we'll say, hey, boys, how's you going? But we don't actually really care. It's just like a conversation starter.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, I mean, if somebody turned around and they said, oh, well, yeah, you're not actually not too good, you're just as likely to say, oh, yeah, that's great. Anyway, what about, like, no one really gives a shit.
Yeah, that's it. And so it's so dismissive, isn't it? It's just like, you don't even think about the words coming out of your mouth. It's just like a sound that we make, you know, how's it going? Like, it's just, it's not even words, you know what I mean? It's just a noise, like, you know, and the answer is always the same. Yeah, pretty good, thanks, yourself, you know?
Right.
Like, that's it, you know. And I think Nick talked about empathy and compassion, and that's something that I really understand, and what we're trying to really push, you know, with our clothing project. You know, it's if people had a little bit more time to, you know, and showed some empathy and compassion to people, you know, everywhere in general, across the board, tradies or otherwise, we'd just find that we'd be living in such, you know, a more caring environment where I think, you know, we should just make time for each other and actually be real, you know, and that's what we're pushing through. This is a conversation starter. And the fact of the matter is that by having these conversations with guys, it's, you're not there to fix the problem. Like, we're not experts, but anybody who is alive and breathing must understand mental health, because everybody it's at one point or another has felt anxious in a situation or awkward in a room or vulnerable, you know, in a relationship. And this is, these are all catalysts, you know, these are all things that we have to deal with. And, you know, we're not there to fix the problem, but showing empathy and...
Well, I am.
Nick is. We're not. That's why we're working together. Nick's got the answers. Nick's got the answers, and we're just trying to make a heap of noise about it on sites, you know, because we can't avoid it anymore, you know, and that's why we're just trying to go as loud and bright as we can to put this in people's faces, because it's what needs to happen. Because statistics, although we don't, you know, like to talk about statistics, they don't lie, and this is a huge, huge issue that needs to change, and we can change it.
Part of why we don't like talking about stats is because, they're important, and we do need to know them. But, you know, we're talking over a few beers last night about how if you keep ramming stats down people's throats, then it's going to create this fear, and people are stuck in doing things out of fear instead of that, you know, compassion and empathy sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's a good way to motivate people. Oh, it's not a good way. It's a way of motivating people to do stuff. But we're trying to take a more educational approach, and I don't have all the answers. You know, I'm just a bloke who, you know, went through some shit, came out the other side, and has learnt, you know, what not to do. So I've got resources and I've got tools and everything. And, you know, I love helping tradies. My old man was a tradie. He passed away the night before he was due to retire. And due to his health. And talking with traders, I love this concept of, imagine turning up to work one day and you expect, you know, I'm going to build this house, but you look in your toolbox and all of a sudden your chainsaws, your saw's not there, your hammer's not there, your drill's not there.
Yeah.
You're missing all these things, and you're gonna go out there and you're going to do the best you can with what you've got, but, you know, realistically, what's it going to be? So,
yeah.
I think in that context, if blokes can access me and learn these tools and resources, they're just so much more, you know, they're better equipped to build a really healthy and happy, sustainable version of themselves.
Okay, so that was the first part of the conversation that I held with Nick Sutherland from MindFit and Dan Allen and Edward Ross from Trademark. Guys, there is a bit of a competition running in the group where the Trademark boys are going to be giving away some of their tops, and Nick is going to be giving away a one-on-one session. So if you want to be part of that competition, again, you got to head across to the Facebook community. It is facebook.com/groups/theSiteShed. You can get to all those links from the homepage of the SiteShed website also, which is siteshed.com. Guys, jump in there and get into that competition if you want the chance to win. We're going to be coming back with the following part of that conversation next week. Thanks, guys. And if you've got any issues or you need anyone to talk to, please reach out to somebody. There are a lot of people out there that want to help, and you just need to initiate that conversation. It is Tradies National Health Month here all of August in Australia. And so, guys, please, if you're having any problems, just pick up the phone and just make that initial contact. There are a lot of people that want to help, so you may as well let them. Thank you for listening to another episode of Toolbox Talks. If you're liking what you hear, then you can head across to the siteshed.com, where you can join our community by signing up to our Toolbox Talks. You'll get sent a weekly notification, which is basically a highlight of everything that we've spoken about during that week, along with any other industry news that may be relevant or specific to the trades. If you're enjoying the show, you can head across to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, where you can leave us a review. That would be fantastic, and all the reviews get read out in the show. Likewise, if you have any friends or colleagues that you think would benefit from the show and the episodes that we create, then please go ahead and share it with them. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Please, if you did, head across to iTunes and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. Anyway, if you are a project-based trade business and you work in solar or bathroom renovations or kitchen renovations or roofing or something along those lines, and you would like to see some of the results that we've been showcasing in our marketing on for your business, thousands of percent return on ad spend, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000,
13,000% return on ad spend, please head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. That's tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. It will be well worth the conversation, and I can't wait to chat with you. Ciao.